Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Our mission is always to deliver the absolute shortcut to knowledge, and today we are attempting to plug directly into the nervous system of the North American continent.
That's a good way to put it. We're analyzing its vital signs using a really massive scientific resource.
And that source material for us today is the National Ecological Observatory Network, or NEON.
Right, but more importantly, it's about the custom software solution that was built to unlock it, a toolkit called NEON Forge.
Okay, so let's start with NEON itself, because this thing is huge. We're not talking about some regional study here.
Oh, not at all. This is continental scale. It is, I think, the largest effort of its kind.
And what does that actually look like on the ground?
Well, think of it like a standardized laboratory, but one that spans the entire United States. It's got 81 monitoring stations.
81?
Yeah, 47 on land and 34 in aquatic systems. And they're all strategically placed across 20 different ecoclimatic domains.
So you're covering everything from, what, deserts to rainforests?
Everything. From the tropical forests in Puerto Rico all the way up to the Alaskan tundra.
You used a keyword there, standardized. Why is that so important for a scientist?
Because NEON isn't designed for just a few years. It's set up to collect consistent scientific-grade data for 30 years or more.
30 years?
Yeah. And that kind of time scale, well, it lets researchers do something that's basically impossible with short-term studies.
It is.
Distinguishing the natural long-term cycles from the real accelerating signals of something like climate change. We're measuring everything. Climate, soil, water, carbon flux, biodiversity, all with the exact same methods. Everywhere.
So you have this scientific gold mine, 30 years of standardized data, but I guess if the entrance to that mine is really complex and hard to navigate, gold just stays locked up.
That was the bottleneck, exactly. The data was public, it was free, but it was trapped behind these logistical barriers.
Meaning if you were a researcher, you were in for a lot of work.
A ton of work. Before NEON Forge, if you needed data from multiple sites over multiple years, you were facing this massive efficiency hurdle. You'd be looking at hundreds, maybe even thousands of manual clicks.
Wow.
You'd go to the NEON data portal, find a product code, let's say for breeding bird counts.
Wow.
And then you'd have to manually go to each of the 81 sites, check if they have the data, download the files one by one.
And then try to stitch it all together.
Right, spending days or weeks writing custom scripts just to get all those separate files into one spreadsheet you could actually use. It was a productivity black hole.
Okay, so this is where the tool, a NEON Forge, comes in. How does it solve that fundamental access problem?
The aha moment was realizing that if the data is all standardized, the access process itself can be completely automated.
Right.
So NEON Forge is basically a set of open source Python scripts. Mm-hmm. It acts like a digital data mining drill. Instead of clicking, you type one single command.
Just
one command. And you can instantly get the download links for every single file related to, say, bird data across all 81 sites for all the years it's available.
That just completely flips the user experience. You go from the scavenger hunt to just instant retrieval.
It's data liberation. And the big deal here isn't just about saving a researcher's time. You know, it's about democratizing the science data itself.
So anyone can use it.
Anyone. A high school science class can now download the same quality control data as a NASA research team. They can feed it into dashboards, AI models, whatever.
Yeah.
You get past that garbage in, garbage out problem you see with messy data.
Okay, so we have instant access. But this kind of planetary data isn't just one big blob of numbers. How does the tool organize it all?
Good question. The toolkit is really smart. It's structured around two core miners that are built to handle the two main flavors of data NEON collects.
Let's take pillar one. The time series data miner. This must be the dynamic stuff, the things that change over time.
Correct. This miner is all about pulling the actual ecological measurements, the numbers that go up and down daily, monthly, yearly.
Give me some examples. What can you pull with this?
Okay, so you could track those bird counts we mentioned from, say, Harvard Forest in June of 2023, and then you can compare it directly to June of 2013.
A decade of change, just like that.
Just like that. Or you could pull 10 straight years of temperature data from the Rockies. Or you could track carbon flux,
which is the exchange of CO2 and methane between the ecosystem and the atmosphere.
Exactly. Super valuable for climate modeling. You can also track something called plant phenology,
which is the timing of biological events, right? Like when leaves pop out in the spring.
You got it. All of this time series data is the key to seeing how climate change is actually impacting species over decades.
Okay, so that's the what. Then we have pillar two, the spatial GIS data miner. This has to be the where.
This is all about context. You can't understand the data if you don't know exactly where it came from. This miner plugs into Neon's mapping services to pull all the geographical assets.
So GPS coordinates for the sites.
Yes, but more than that. It grabs the exact GPS points for all 81 sites, sure. But it also gets you the boundary polygons of those 20 ecoclimatic domains, so you can see the bigger picture.
And you mentioned something about TOS plot points. What are those?
Right. TOS stands for Terrestrial Observation System. These are the exact fixed locations within a site where scientists physically go to collect samples, soil, plants, that kind of thing.
I see. So you get the map of exactly where the science is happening.
Precisely. You can pull all those map locations, which lets you do really detailed spatial analysis. You can even filter and say, just show me the core aquatic sites, for example, to compare watersheds.
So the time series tells you what changed, and the spatial miner shows you exactly where it changed. But you said it goes beyond just downloading. Tell me about this modular architecture.
Right, this is what makes it a complete platform. It's built with specific modules. There's one for data acquisition, one for visualization, and one for analysis.
So the data module handles the retrieval.
Yes, but it's smart. Before you start a massive download, you can use it to quickly check what's actually available. You can ask which sites have methane data for 2015 to 2020, so you don't waste your time.
That's useful. Then once you have the data, you need to see it. That's the Viz module.
The Viz module, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the fun part. It's built to create customized visuals right away. It can generate interactive maps where you can color code the sites, green for terrestrial, blue for aquatic, and it just spits out a standard HTML file you can share.
And I assume it does charts for the time series data too.
Oh yeah, it'll generate plots and dashboards so you can visualize temperature trends or population changes almost instantly.
Okay, now for the scientific engine, the analysis module. This is where raw data becomes actual insight.
This is the high-value section, absolutely. It contains specialized functions that do the sophisticated stats ecologists need. For example, there's a climate analysis module that can calculate complex warming trends or spot temperature anomalies over decades.
What about for biodiversity?
For that, there's the biodiversity metrics module. This is where you can calculate things like the Shannon Diversity Index.
Remind us, what does the Shannon Diversity Index actually tell you?
It's a really crucial metric. It measures not just how many different species you have, but also the evenness of those species. A high score means you have a healthy, resilient ecosystem. The module just automates that calculation for you.
I also saw it uses something called the Mann-Kendall test for trends. Why that specific test?
Ah, yeah. The Mann-Kendall is the workhorse of environmental science. Because ecological data is almost always messy. Unlike simpler methods, this test doesn't assume your data is perfectly linear or normally distributed.
Which it rarely is.
Almost never. So it helps scientists confidently say if something like temperature or water pH is truly trending up or down, even with a lot of natural noise in the data.
So for a researcher, this toolkit is the whole package. You don't have to build the data pipeline from scratch or code your own stats functions. You just plug in your question.
It radically speeds up the whole scientific process.
Yeah.
And that enables some really high impact uses in the real world right now.
Okay, let's talk about those. I imagine climate change research is at the top of the list.
It's revolutionary for that field. Having 30 years of standardized data lets you compare warming trends by latitude or elevation, and then directly correlate that climate data with the biodiversity data.
So you can actually see species migration happening in the data.
You can see it in hard numbers. It's direct evidence of ecological response.
Mm.
It's also huge for just general ecosystem health monitoring.
Gosso.
Well, local environmental managers can use the toolkit to track long-term soil health or water quality. And critically, they can analyze those carbon sequestration rates from the flux data to get a quantified report card for their local ecosystem.
It moves things from models to hard data.
Exactly. And for data scientists, this is perfect for training machine learning models.
Because of the standardization.
Precisely. It eliminates all the noise you get from mashing together different data sets. It's pristine training data for an AI trying to predict, say, species distribution under different climate scenarios.
Let's get into the technical weeds for a second. If I pull map data with this, what format am I getting?
It's all standard stuff. GeoJSON or shapefiles?
And GeoJSON is just that lightweight format for sharing map data online, right?
Exactly. And it all uses the standard WGS84 coordinate system, which is what GPS and Google Maps use. So it's instantly compatible.
Mm-hmm.
The time series data is just standard CSV files with clear headers and ISO timestamps, no proprietary lock-in.
And I heard about some advanced filtering capabilities.
Yes, that's what makes it so powerful. You don't have to download everything. You can run these SQL-like filters. You can say, show me only the aquatic sites in Utah that are above 1,000 meters in elevation.
That kind of specific querying must be a game changer.
It totally changes how quickly you can zero in on the exact data you need for a specific question.
So to wrap this all up, the NEON project itself is this massive, ambitious undertaking, a kind of planetary vital signs monitor. But it was really the creation of a tool like NEONForge that made all that data truly accessible.
That is the core insight, yeah. Mm-hmm. The toolkit transforms this complex web portal into an accessible Earth's nervous system dashboard. It makes large-scale ecological insight feasible for almost anyone.
And because it covers everything from microbes to LiDAR imagery, it really shifts the power balance in environmental decision-making.
It makes it more open, more informed, and driven by actual continental-scale data.
Which brings us to a final provocative thought for you to consider. Since this data is free and the toolkit is open source, how might the ready availability of real-time, high-quality carbon flux data, those specific CO2 and methane exchange numbers, influence the next generation of localized climate policy across the U.S.
When a local government can actually quantify the carbon performance of its own natural lands using standardized science, that's a genuine game changer for policy.
Something for you to chew on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.